Welcome to the Parent Equation Podcast with me, Aisha Murray. This podcast series is full of inspiring stories from working parents who are passionate about designing a life that works for them and their families. Working parents like you who want a purposeful, rewarding career alongside a balanced family life. So today I'm joined by Elizabeth Willits. Elizabeth founded a company called Investing in Women, which of course, being the working parent that I am and that hosts this podcast, is hugely exciting to me to have her on today. So welcome, Elizabeth.
Hello, thank you for having me.
No, it's great to have you. And Investing in Women, obviously, very strong statement and a very needed statement. So maybe the first question I think is, how did you get from previous career, which I believe is probably corporate career, into something which obviously you're going to be hugely passionate about? We all are very passionate about investing in women and parents. So how did that journey start for you?
Well, it started following my redundancy. So my background is recruitment, and Investing in Women at its heart is a recruitment site and job board. And I was made redundant during the height of the pandemic, so September 2020. It was the end of my second maternity leave, and I couldn't find another part-time job for love nor money. Every time a recruiter approached me and I asked, will they consider part-time, they said no straight away or ghosted me, and I got really cross. I was following certain people online, so Mother Pucker and Pregnant Then Screwed, and just sort of reading what they were saying and also seeing the experiences that were happening to my friends, who were often sidelined after having children in their current career or struggled to find a part-time or flexible job at their level, if that's what they wanted. I could see that there was a huge issue, and I believe, you know, then, as I still believe now, that the lack of professional, rewarding and fulfilling flexible and part-time opportunities on offer is one of the main causes of the gender pay gap. And to achieve more equality in the workplace, we need to have more flexible opportunities on offer for both sexes, and both sexes need to be encouraged to work more flexibly.
Yeah, and I think, as you say, it's not just the flexible working, it's the valuable roles that are out there. It's the quality of roles that are out there.
Yeah.
And not assuming just because we're working parents and want flexibility that we therefore want a lesser role than we had before, or we don't necessarily want to change our careers. We have, you know, many of us have built careers over many years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
Just because the kids come along, we suddenly feel like we're penalised for that quite important milestone in our lives.
I know. I think there also needs to be, you know, as well as the flexible opportunities, there needs to be more value put on the time and the effort and what people learn and take away from career breaks, particularly if those career breaks are spent caring for others. And employers should value those career breaks more. They shouldn't be seen as a hindrance or something negative. Definitely should be seen more, I think, by society as a positive caregiving. More generally, you know, we look at what nursery staff get paid, childcare staff get paid. It's not a lot considering the responsibility they have. I think caring more widespread needs to be valued more.
And have you seen any, I suppose, hopefully positive changes since you've been doing this, maybe the last couple of years or so?
Yes, I have. I mean, flexible working is getting better, and it's getting better all the time. And I do believe that was the pandemic, and that was one of the huge positives to come out of the pandemic. So, you know, it's pretty much a given that now in a lot of roles, obviously not all roles, but in a lot of office-based roles, that full-time is sort of hybrid now, where it's 2 days a week from home or 2 or 3 days a week from home, 2 or 3 days in the office. Yes, those roles probably could be more flexible. Some employers stipulate what days people go in. But when you consider what those full-time roles were pre-pandemic, where people were going into the office 5 days a week, I think we've come on quite a long way. So I think there's definitely things that should be celebrated. And in hybrid working being the new norm for full-time roles is actually a really positive step forward, and it enables both sets of parents to do the school run a couple of days a week, potentially to do hobbies, to other things in the evening that they might not have had the opportunity to do before. And I definitely think that on its own promotes a better work-life balance.
Yeah, and how about things like, so In fact, a client I was talking to this week, or just today, where you were talking not about flexibility, but about a culture. So the embedded culture of a company and how flexibility is one thing, and having the ability to do school runs or, you know, different working patterns. But a culture where if there is a school sports day and you just want to take a couple of hours off, that your manager or the CEO or MD is not going to say no to that. They're going to say, well, of course, you know, it's an important part of your child's life. So, yeah, sure, take a couple of hours off to do sports day or to go meet the teacher. All these sort of things don't happen every day or every week even.
Yeah.
But we still want support in being able to be free to do those things and not feel guilty and not feel pressurized and not feel that we're being judged, I suppose. Do you think that's also something that's changing culturally rather than just the flexible working patterns?
I mean, I'd hope so. And that will obviously vary company to company and depend on manager to manager. But I think the most positive thing that a manager can do that wants to promote flexibility and inclusive workforce, a happy workforce, is actually to do that themselves. So if they need to take time off for whatever reason, be it a sports day, a doctor's appointment, physio, pop into the gym, then I don't believe they should hide that. I think if they sort of say, I'm popping to the gym now for a couple of hours, then the rest of their employees will feel empowered in the knowledge that they can pop to the gym. So I think that there definitely needs to be that role modeling within the organization.
Yeah. And then how's your, I suppose, your life changed, your work-life balance and your flexibility changed now that you have your own business and obviously a business that's absolutely focused on this particular topic?
I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, like anybody that set up a business, it's a lot of hours, more hours than I think I ever would have anticipated before I founded this. But I have noticed now we're sort of going into year two that I think the setup and that first year was manic, and now I've started to get a bit of a routine. I've got a couple of people that help me on the day-to-day, and that has made a difference and has definitely stopped me working, you know, till silly o'clock every night. My daughter, she's now at nursery 5 days a week, which has been a huge help, giving me back the weekends with my kids and my family. But yeah, I mean, as anyone will attest, setting up a business is not for the faint-hearted. It's not easy, and it's definitely not less hours. But the positives, I suppose, are talking about that, like sports days. Don't have to ask somebody for permission to go to sports day or to meet the teacher. And, you know, I can do those school pickups and drop-offs, and actually, you know, work my work around my life.
And then is that something you see, again, it won't be directly from your business, because obviously your business is employers advertising through you. But in the conversations that you have and the network you have now, do you hear that maybe mums particularly, but working parents are looking more at how to work for themselves rather than stick to maybe the career they once had?
Well, I think so, because there's been this whole thing about the great resignation, people, you know, left jobs like me really for whatever reason during the pandemic and haven't gone back to traditional paying employment. You know, people either retired early, a lot of people started up side hustles and or started working for themselves and then haven't gone back. And I think people don't want to go back. A lot of people don't want to go back to that 9 to 5 in an office somewhere with a commute on either side. So I do believe that if employers want to tempt those people back into the workplace, a lot, you know, big reason why people would have left, they probably won't have left for the money, because as I know, starting a business, you don't get paid as well as actually you do when you're employed. They'll have probably left for the flexibility.
Yeah, and as you say, not just flexibility, the leading by example, or the lack of, maybe the lack of leading by example, and the culture shift. And then with your, again, from a business point of view, which kind of industries or employers are you seeing using your platform the most? Is there a trend in the kind of businesses that are looking at flexible working?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard quite a lot of consultancies have advertised and hired, a lot of marketing, particularly digital marketing, tech companies. These are all good roles that can be worked remotely. I've had a few financial services positions, which is promising. And one area that I've been really pleased about, because, you know, traditionally can be seen as quite an aggressive environment, but I've had some really lovely clients have been within the legal sector, and I've had quite a few part-time flexible lawyer jobs as well, which has been really promising to see. So it's been a huge range of sort of sales, marketing, admin type roles. So
I always wonder if people are, women I suppose in this instance, are thinking about their options and maybe not getting the flexibility they need, or not thinking the flexibility they need is available in their chosen profession.
Yeah.
I guess it's then looking at those industries that are putting their money where their mouth is.
Yeah.
And as you said, you've just named a few there. And maybe thinking about how maybe it's a change of career, a change of direction.
Yeah, it might just be a change of employer.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose it's research into those employers who are doing it well.
Yeah.
And I suppose changing your direction towards those employers, roles or industries potentially. Mm-hmm. Is that something they could do through you? I suppose they could, couldn't they? Just look at what's going on.
Look at what's going on. And there's also, you know, I'm working with a company called Super Mums at the moment who are advertising to train people up in Salesforce. So this is a great opportunity for somebody that hasn't, you know, ever had a career in tech, but to retrain in technology and become a Salesforce consultant. And those roles are actually quite flexible. You can work them from home, you can work them part-time. So there's really good opportunities for people to change career. I've also worked recently with a digital marketing company that had a free digital marketing boot camp that were training people to become digital marketers that hadn't got that experience. So there's opportunities like that as well, where you can change career, learn something new, and change direction.
I think that's what's so, the opportunities there are, well, the opportunities now in that space and the ability to change because people are putting investment, especially the tech companies, into training people up. I think it's, if you're in that position where you're feeling stuck, is actually thinking, what could the opportunities be that, as you say, maybe there are companies where you could get the training you need at minimal cost. I think I heard that Amazon are training specifically mums, data science roles.
I mean, there's a lot of opportunity now, and you know, my generation, I remember, you know, when I was at school, we didn't really do that much. I suppose it was still coming out, really. I remember having a lesson on, remember Ask Jeeves? I remember having a lesson at high school. Oh, this is a new thing come out. It's called Ask Jeeves. So we did, we had one computer room. We all went to that computer. We all probably were sharing a computer. Mm-hmm. We looked at Ask Jeeves. And, you know, we had dial-up internet, didn't we? It didn't really get quick until we were at university in terms of broadband, and obviously Facebook came out right at the end of my university life. So I think, well, I, you know, didn't really at that point consider tech as a career because it was still so much in its infancy. So it's a really good opportunity now for people that maybe felt that and missed that boat in the initially to get into such a growing area.
Yeah. Sadly, I didn't even have internet at university.
Oh, didn't you?
At my age, no. So I had books in the library still when I was at uni. And I think I got my first big brick Nokia phone when I was 19.
Wow. Yeah.
We had no way to search for any information. You had to use the old school method of getting a book.
Yeah. But I mean, life has changed, hasn't it? Completely.
So, yeah, and this is what they say obviously about our kids now. So our, you know, the generation that our kids are in, is that the jobs that they will get eventually don't even exist yet.
Exactly.
I don't know how then we prepare, there are ways obviously, but how we prepare them for jobs we don't even know what the job's going to be. As you say, it was much easier in our day. It was very linear almost. It felt quite linear. You kind of did your subjects. You maybe went to uni or didn't, but there was a kind of potentially a path there, which is fairly traditional. But now the opportunities are maybe scarily endless.
Exactly. But therefore, you know, like I think a lot of people worry that they don't necessarily have transferable skills. But we, you know, like you've just said, the jobs that potentially our kids will do don't exist yet. So it's all about actually learning about our transferable skills, our own transferable skills, and focusing maybe on those. rather than necessarily exactly what we've done, and then thinking how can they adapt. If you're maybe at a crossroads yourself in your career and you're thinking, what do I want to do now? Thinking about all those different transferable skills you've got and what you've enjoyed doing, and then like I said, now might be a good time to retrain in an industry you hadn't previously considered.
And also, as I said before, it's what skills did you develop, transferable skills, while you were on your career break, in whatever career break form that was.
Yeah.
You know, these breaks are never just sort of sitting watching Netflix for a year or 6 months, whatever it is. So what is it actually you learned, developed? What did you learn about yourself? Especially I think the self-awareness piece is huge these days.
Absolutely, yeah.
And building that confidence in yourself. And actually, you know, we can do anything we want if we put our minds to it.
Yeah.
We just have to work out where our strengths lie.
Yeah.
And monopolize the strengths. I think I'm a strong advocate for not focusing on weaknesses.
Yes.
Because they are just what they are. But actually, we're all good at something. So how can we really exploit those strengths? And I think that retraining piece is really important, actually. And there's, if we open our horizons a bit, there could potentially be tons of opportunities for us.
Loads. I mean, do you know what, like, it's funny. So, you know, I've struggled to get a part-time job, but since I've set this up, you know, and I got made redundant, but since I've set this up, I've had loads of jobs that have been added, and I've looked and think, oh gosh, I'd have fancied that. I could have done that. That looks really good. So actually, when you think, if you really do look and see, there is a lot of opportunities for you. You don't have to think, you know, it's the end of the road for you, or you need to settle, or you know, your skills aren't transferable. There's loads. You've just got to, I think, you know, have a look and be a bit open-minded.
Yeah, and again, actually, it's quite topical. I was talking to, again, today to someone about LinkedIn and sort of the power of LinkedIn, which, again, relatively new in the sort of whole, you know, generational thing. But the need, I suppose, for us to embrace LinkedIn, because it is a very, very powerful tool.
Mm-hmm.
But then the sort of, especially for maybe our age and upwards, the slight fear of putting ourselves out there and being visible, because we never had to do that before. We could just sort of go to recruitment companies and, you know, put forward for jobs. But now it's, I think it feels like it's a lot more onus on us to take accountability and to do the legwork ourselves rather than to rely on recruiters. But you're, obviously this is your field. So what do you think about that?
I mean, I think it's a bit of both. I think, you know, obviously people, you can, I love LinkedIn. So I, you know, I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, and LinkedIn is a brilliant opportunity for you to build a personal brand if that's what you want to do. And, you know, if you build a successful, you know, if you're an effective personal brand, then you will, you know, hopefully get approached for jobs. When you're building your personal brand, you'll obviously have to think about the types of jobs you want to have, because there's no point building one personal brand if that isn't in line with where you want your career to go. So but I think it's a bit of a, you know, you should be friends with the recruiters in your area as well, because they will have those relationships with companies. They'll know what jobs are coming up, and they will be able to advise you, you know, when they jobs are listed with them. And also, you know, a good recruiter should be able to see as well what transferable skills you have if they get a role that may be a bit out of the box, a bit left field, and that might encourage you to think about you know, a job that you hadn't previously considered. So I think definitely use them. I wouldn't, you know, not be in touch with a recruiter if you're looking for a job. I think you can definitely use both. And you know, the more you time you spend investing in your personal brand, the more money, you know, you'll be a more successful job seeker. You know, you'll be more, you should progress up. You know, a good employer will not then stop you, keep posting under your name. And if you have that right relationship with your employer, will help, a good personal brand will help you progress your career as well.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, this day and age we live in, you have to be visible.
Yes.
You have to just embrace that visibility in a, you know, safe and sort of neutral way potentially, but we can't really hide behind recruiters anymore, or sort of just sit there and hope that jobs will come to us.
Yeah.
Because there is so much noise out there. There's so many people out there sort of, as you say, with a strong personal brand who are being visible and consistent.
Yeah.
That if we don't join it.
Yeah. don't have to do anything too. I think you know, if you're not used to posting, I mean, obviously the first step would be to have a really nice LinkedIn profile based upon what you're looking for and your previous skills, with a photo. Don't not have a photo. But you know, if you're not maybe comfortable doing posts yourselves, then you should follow the companies that you like or would like to work for, and those people that maybe are leading the teams you would want to work for, and then you can just comment on their posts, and that would help, you know, improve your visibility on the platform and sort of baby steps into it until you maybe feel confident enough to start posting things yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And where do you think, so Investing in Women currently is a recruitment job search platform.
Yeah.
Where do you see it going, I suppose, from a wider supporting women and families potentially? Where do you see it going in the future? Kind of what's your vision for your business now?
Oh, yeah. So, obviously I want to continue expanding the recruitment side, because I do love recruitment, and that's been, you know, my career now for 17 years. Mm-hmm. So I definitely would still see it fundamentally as a recruitment business. I would love to do more consulting, so helping employers to implement diversity and inclusion policies, what those policies, you know, would look like, and how to make those employers nicer places to work. So I would definitely love to add my consulting arm. I do my weekly Facebook and LinkedIn lives at the moment, where I speak to experts on topics aimed at empowering women. So definitely want to continue, you know, interviewing those individuals and building on that library of resources that's free for individuals to access. So I think that's where I see it going, sort of more consultancy, but definitely staying with the recruitment business.
Yeah. And where do the kids fit into the picture, I suppose, from a work-life balance point of view? Yeah. As they grow and they go through school and all this sort of thing, do you have a view of how you want to invest your time in work and then obviously with family?
Yeah, I mean, that's been one of the most difficult things for me, because I'm, you know, I started the business, I'm still excited about who started it. I was really excited, I've got loads of plans, and then I found it really difficult having some time constraints on me, and not, I'm one of these people that always feels I can run before I can walk, and actually having kids and those time constraints, you know, when I first started the business, I had my youngest daughter with me full time, so I was doing it in nap time, and then, you know, as they've got older, she started nursery. They were both just doing mornings, four mornings a week. And then, you know, now my eldest is at school and my youngest is in her final year at nursery. So I can see that, you know, I'm starting to get more and more time that I can invest in the business. Mm-hmm. So I think that's been the most exciting thing for me with the business. I've had to learn to pace myself, but then also I've got loads of plans that I can see, you know, I can start doing now, and I've got that bit more time.
Yeah, I think that's also something, again, I hear a lot and talk about a lot, is our careers when it comes to family commitments and kids alongside.
Yeah.
We can take it in chunks, because our kids' development, you know, is in phases.
Yeah.
And every phase is new, has its new challenges, but has its new kind of, you know, opportunities. So from nursery through to school, through to senior school, through to leaving school, all that kind of thing. So their milestones come very quickly before we really realise they're happening. And when that happens and they enter a new phase, then I suppose we have to be open to adjusting what that looks like for us.
Yeah.
And I think people with maybe more defined career paths and have a career path in mind, is maybe don't be afraid that there might be blocks of a few years where you do have to think differently about how it's working, because the kids' needs will be different, or how much they need you will be different.
Yeah.
And there'll be a time, to your point, where they need you less, or they're in nursery full time, or they're at school, so you've got more time, physical time on your hands, where you can commit to different things. I think it's being a bit easier on ourselves and accepting that the kids' lives go through these phases.
Yeah.
So maybe we should try and align. It's not possible all the time, obviously, but try and align ourselves with those phases as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I feel very fortunate that I do have a flexible, you know, business that I can take with me. You know, I went and spent 3 weeks up with my mum and dad in Yorkshire, and I don't think any of my clients would have known that I wasn't here at home. And I'm really fortunate I could pick the kids up and spend that time with them, and then I catch up on work in the evening, and that's how I like to work at the moment. But you know, as my daughter, I think, starts school, it'll be really nice for me then to have, you know, a bit more of a 9 to 5. I mean, 9 to 3, but you know, Monday to Friday, yeah, 10 to 2.
But everyone, yeah. And it does make it's a good point, because we had a lovely weekend away, and we thought, you know, as an adult now, in theory, if you've got a flexible job, you could work from anywhere, really. People don't often know the days you're not in the office, you could be anywhere.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, these blasted kids have school to go to.
I know. You've got to get back.
We can't move them from school to school over the weeks and months, unless we turn to homeschooling, which I'm not quite sure I'm ready to go back to that anytime soon. But again, there'll come a point where the kids are out of school and doing their own thing, or at uni, or working, or living away. And then this remote working, if it's still as it is now, as hybrid working, means again, as parents, we'll have a whole world of opportunity about where we can work. Absolutely. And what that actually means. And
it's exciting, you know, really.
My
VA, she's gone and worked in LA this year, you know, stayed with a friend. She's gone and worked in Spain. Quite envious. She calls me from a different location. I'm like, wow. Yeah. Enjoy it while you can before you have like other commitments and you can't go.
Well, that's the thing. And then once your commitments have sort of are done to a degree, and that freedom comes back, so that's something we can look forward to in the future.
Yeah.
Which again, it's back to that point of all these phases pass and change.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on for us right now won't be the same in 10 years' time or 5 years' time. Yeah. So it's how we enjoy the phase we're in now, knowing that's what it is, but knowing that there's a hopefully exciting things on the horizon for us that aren't all kid-centric.
Yeah.
And what do you think your girl, you've got two girls, haven't you?
I've got two girls, yeah, Emily and Annabelle.
So what do you think they are going to be thinking, as they're probably a bit too young now to really realise, but when they see mummy working from home, and running her own business, and especially a women-related business, you know, mum-related business, how do you think that might shape the way that their careers might go, or that maybe the way they think about work?
That's a really good question. I mean, I hope that that will make them realise that, you know, careers don't have to stop after kids. They don't have to stop after you've been made redundant. It could just be the start of something new, and actually you are in a lot more control over your destiny than you think you are. So you know, I was made redundant, I felt really that control had been taken, you know, that decision had been taken out of my hands, someone else had made that decision. But actually you're more empowered than you think you are, and a lot of it is baby steps and just going for it. You know, I was really frightened, as I'm sure you were, the first time I ever posted anything online, the first time I ever did a video. I was petrified they really wouldn't. They're not good. But you've got to do it. You can't be frightened about life. You can't be frightened about what other people think. And then you gradually get more confident, and then you get better, and then get more confident and better. And then so you've got to keep going with life. You've got to be resilient. And I think that's for anything, really. You've got to not be afraid to put yourself out there. And I mean, my nanny, obviously my kids are a bit young, but my nanny, she has her own business, which was quite unusual. So she set it up in the 70s when she was made, when she divorced my granddad. You know, she had loads of barriers. She couldn't get a mortgage without a man's signature. It was a completely different world then. But I remember when I was like 4 or 5 helping her in her shop. And, you know, it was always nice to see her working. It was nice. She had a group of women that she employed. And I think just seeing somebody be, you know, being their own boss, doing their own thing is hugely empowering. And I think, you know, subconsciously I must have thought and seen her, I thought, I'd like to do that. I'd like to run my own business. It looks like good fun. So as a kid, that's what you think when you're helping on the till.
The till's always good fun.
Yeah.
and stamping pretend library books.
Oh yeah. I know, yeah. It's
always fun. It's always great fun. But yes, the reality of actually owning your own business isn't quite just the till and stamping library books, is it?
Yeah. No, but But yeah, it's a nice, yeah, when you're a kid, that's good fun, isn't it? You, and it gives you a taste. And
yeah, I think that's the thing about your kids then, you know, they're going to be witness to your success and your investment in women. So them obviously being girls is even more relevant for them.
Yeah.
And as you say, showing them that you can do anything you put your mind to.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that for anybody, I think there is anybody, if, you know, if you put your mind to it, you can achieve anything and amazing things. And it often is the first step, but that first step is the most scary step. Mm-hmm. And once you've taken that, you'll realize, and then you'll look back and think, wow, you'll be so proud of yourself. And that pride, you know, will feed your confidence.
Yeah, I love the word, I love the use of the word resilience there, and actually how building resilience in our kids from a really young age is so, so important as a fundamental foundation to everything that life will throw at them.
Yes, absolutely.
As they come. So do you think you do anything specifically? You probably don't, because we do things unconsciously, don't we, as parents, but do you think you do anything to help build their resilience and confidence?
I mean, I'm always saying how proud I am of them, mm-hmm. and how, you know, they're amazing. showcase my parenting skills. So when I'm working up, I've got to do something. My eldest loves octonauts. You know, she knows all the fish. I think, God, she's ever a marine biologist, so I won't feel guilty shoving in front of CVBs. So I'm always, she astounds me what she knows about sea life, the sea. So I tell her that, and you know, if they fall over, I'm trying not to make too much. I'm like, right, come on, you're okay, get back up. You need to get back up. But yeah, I think resilience is important.
Yeah, and independence.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Resilience, independence, and confidence.
Yeah,
I think you're right. It's those three things, which I think, yeah, it's great to have people like you who are such great role models for their kids. I think that's all we can do, isn't it? Really. Be great role models for them, and hope that whatever we're doing somehow leads them to do the things they want to do, and it, as you say, empowers them to do what they want to do and follow their path, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
So what else are we here to do, I suppose, apart from that?
That's a really good point.
So Liz, thank you so much. It's been great to have you on today. What is, if people want to find out more about looking for jobs, obviously, which is a big part of what people are looking for today, especially working parents, where can they find you? Where can they find out more about investing in women?
You can search and apply for flexible and part-time jobs on the Investing in Women website, which you can find at investinginwomen.co.uk. I'd love to connect with you. We talked a lot about LinkedIn, and that's where I spend a lot of my time. So you can search for me on LinkedIn. I'm Elizabeth Willits. And also you can follow our company on LinkedIn, Investing in Women. We're on Instagram and Facebook, Investing in Women Careers. And also have a Facebook group as well that you're welcome to join, called Working Mums UK.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And it really sounds very promising.
Thank you.
Opportunities for people and your opportunities for your business as well. So really good luck with that.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's great. And I'll speak to you very soon. Thank you.
Yes.
To work with me, find out more at aishamari.com, connect with me on LinkedIn, or check out my free resources and quizzes at aishamari.com/resources.